Boo Corrigan. Also, like it's boob. Just to clarify, it's Dak Prescott. Just want to get that out there.
What?
Did you say Prescott?
Yes, that's
what is your obsession?
Marty.
It's a family show. All right, yeah. Guy from Wyoming. That guy. I'll call him. We'll get him on the show.
Welcome to the Darren Smith Show.
This is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back.
Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Ooh, yeah. Now, here's Darren.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
Hey there. Greetings to you. It is a Thursday. It is the second day of December 2021. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Darren Smith. You're listening to Extra 1360. Welcome to Lockout Radio. What are we going to talk about? How are we going to fill 3 hours here this afternoon? Stay tuned, find out. Got you up until 3 o'clock. John and Rich, Loose Cannons coming up a little later on today. You can listen to us on AM 1360, hence the name of the radio station, Extra 1360. You can find us in high definition radio at 101.5, channel number 2, KGB2. That's what it's called over there. If you get high definition, I recommend it. The iHeartRadio app, it is a free app. You can stream it through a lot of your smart speakers, many mobile devices. You can listen to us whenever you would like, however you would like, wherever you would like. You can take us with you, take us on the road. We have lots of listeners of ours who interact with us each and every day via the iHeartRadio app. People who have relocated to faraway foreign places like Missoula, Montana. Or you could just be in an office place and stream us through the iHeartRadio app as well. SportsSD.com, that's our website. And I mentioned the smart speakers. There's many of them. And you can yell at them, you can tell them, you can ask them nicely to play the station and they can get it done. 3 hours, got lots to get into. It is official. This is Lockout Radio. Happy Lockout of 2021, everybody. I don't know how we're going to fill the time. I was hoping to talk a little bit of Formula One racing today, but we were unable to establish connection. What would have been unprecedented, talking to a reporter, a friend, a colleague from Saudi Arabia, we were unable to connect, although there's still time. We still have a couple of hours. We're running out of time in Saudi Arabia. But that was one option. We've got the NFL starting tonight. Not quite the compelling game that you would hope for on a Thursday night between the Dallas Cowboys and the New Orleans Saints, two teams I feel like we just watched last Thursday on Thanksgiving. I don't know why we need to watch both of these teams again tonight, but that's the way the schedule makers figured it out. Going to talk a little bit of college football. Going to talk about San Diego State and the Mountain West Conference title game. Brock Huard from Fox Sports will be here coming up at the bottom of the hour. He's going to be on the call for Fox Sports this weekend. He'll be the analyst in the booth in Carson, California, San Diego State, Utah State. You can listen to that, here on Extra 1360. You'll just have to wait till the end of the basketball game, which is going to be on the air starting at about 9:30 or so. San Diego State basketball on the road in Ann Arbor, and then joined in progress afterwards, San Diego State football in the Mountain West Conference Championship. All the politicking that went into that game, as we discussed yesterday, with the athletic director, John David Wicker. Kirk Morrison will be here, and Dennis Lynn will be here. We'll find out how Dennis plans to spend his lockout. What is a reporter to do under these circumstances when Major League Baseball has locked out its workforce? When it's locked out its primary workforce, being the players, respectfully to people who work in the front offices, respectfully to people who work in public relations, media relations, community relations, the ticket office, sales, all the like, those people are not locked out. Those people are allowed to go to work. I had to sort through some of this today just to make sure I knew my P's and my Q's, knew exactly who was or wasn't being locked out as a result of this labor issue. For the first time in 26 years, there is a work stoppage in Major League Baseball. Found it funny going to The Athletic, reading what was written here today, a brief summary from since some are wondering, well, what is this all about? This paragraph in particular stood out to me. Because of the lockout, typical offseason transactions, such as free agency, the arbitration process, and the Rule 5 draft, will likely be frozen until a new deal is reached. And baseball's mid-December winter meetings will likely be canceled. MLB has also removed player photos and news from its website, prompting several players to change their Twitter profile pictures to blank avatars. Locally, I've seen Ryan Weathers do this and Joe Musgrove. I'm guessing they're not alone. But isn't that funny that MLB has removed player photos and news from its website, prompting several players to change their profiles to blank avatars? However, don't worry, everybody. Christmas will be spared this year because you can go to Padres.com right now. You can click on a link at the top of the page. It's called Shop. You can do your holiday shopping, and you can still buy that $359 jersey that your child wants that features Fernando Tatis Jr.'s name on the back. Not to worry. Christmas is saved, everybody. Baseball is still making lots and lots of money. Or you can go for the knockoff, which is a much cheaper $134.99, available in multiple colors at Padres.com. So you can still do your shopping. You can still buy all sorts of stuff. I'm guessing they haven't put a padlock on the Padres store downtown. So you can do your holiday shopping there if you're looking for a new brown cap, if you're looking for a Fernando Tatis Jr. shirt, maybe you're looking for a Nick Martinez jersey, although I would hold the press on that one. I might not go to print on the Nick Martinez shirt. Just yet. Maybe we'll have to wait a little while. Maybe that'll be a couple of months. Get into that here in a little bit. But yes, they've removed their images everywhere except where they can make money. So you can still go ahead and buy yourself an authentic Nike Fernando Tatis Jr. jersey for $359.99. Just some suggestions for you to get rolling here today during the holiday season. Good afternoon, Jim Russell.
Hey, put Tim on the mic.
This is Jim.
Just so you know, it's still there. You can still go find it. Go to Padres.com or whatever team it is that you support. You can buy authentic team jerseys for $359.99.
Yeah, I'll pass on that.
Okay, well, yeah, they've removed many images everywhere except where they can actually make a buck off of it. Marty, Christmas is saved.
What?
That Eric Hosmer jersey that you've been looking for.
Yes.
It is available there.
Okay, very excited. No, but here this is where it gets me now, Darren, because it's not, you know me, I'm not a big shopper. The Buster only just retweeted this from the Cardinals beat reporter. The Cardinals have notified the media that they will not be permitted to talk to members of the media during MLB's lockout. So does this mean, like, everybody, like, we can't ask AJ Preller any more questions, no more texting, no more trying to get anybody on the show? That's it, right? So we're locked out too?
Yes and no.
What does that mean?
I think this is good news for you.
Is it
usually
good news?
There are some protocols that are in place here. Not to get too far behind the curtain.
Oh, there's protocols?
Usually there are protocols. There's a professional courtesy. The Padres would like us to not contact players or team executives directly.
Oh.
There's a whole process here set up where there's a media relations department where they would prefer it, and they oftentimes request and kind of demand that you go through them. So when you've heard Joe Musgrove on this show, when you've heard AJ Preller on this show, when you've heard however many guests we've had on this show, that comes primarily that comes through the team. The team helps us with that. We get in touch with them via telephone, via text, via email. Every once in a while, Marty will send a fax. I'm
right.
Just kidding on that. Yeah, but we'll get in touch with the department, however we get in touch, and say, hey, we'd love to have Joe Musgrove on the show.
Sure.
What do you think the chances
are? Let's talk
are?
About his no-hitter.
They run us around a little bit. Sometimes it's more difficult than it used to be, but whatever. That's just 2021 for you. But now they are not allowed to contact their players. So, Marty, you've been given a green light to contact players as many as you would like, and they can't say anything about it.
Well, I mean, the Padres, unless I've missed it, have not sent something like that out. I think the Phillies did this morning were...
Doesn't matter. That doesn't mean their players can't talk.
No, but it said like their media, like the media relations couldn't even talk to the media. Like no one was allowed to talk to any members of the media.
Oh, well, what does that mean?
I'm just saying as far as like, you can't ask questions about this or that.
You can't be quoted?
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, well, anyways.
I mean, I've been texting with two different employees today.
Well, you better be on a burner phone.
Not me. They better be on a burner phone.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not the one being locked out.
Buy a flip phone from like 7-Eleven.
I don't know that rule is in place here. I don't know that it's in place. I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
I would imagine that burner phones right now are a hot commodity in a lot of baseball markets, from different executives, because I forgot who you were talking to earlier this week when you asked whether or not players who are rehabbing, say like a Mike Clevenger. Oh, was it Jared Diamond? Okay. Whether or not like a Mike Clevenger, is he allowed to be at the Padres facility? I mean, he's, you know, he's rehabbing for Tommy John. He isn't the only one rehabbing. And the answer now is no. Like these guys are, they cannot go to facilities anymore. They can't work. They don't have access to team trainers. They are completely on their own. So I'm just now wondering how many team personnel have burner phones so they can go ahead and stay in touch with this $20 million player who's rehabbing or coming back from serious injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how many accidental meetings are we going to see? Oh, you're at this gym? I'm at this gym? Oh, what a coincidence. But we can't talk, but I can kind of keep an eye on you as you do
your
thing.
Can you like sign language to somebody? Like hold up a sign? Is that considered talking to them?
I'll see you at USD. What are you doing here?
I
can't imagine that the coaches and the players all arrived at USD at the same time. What a weird thing every Tuesday at noon.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not any, that I'm just making that up, but I'm not, because that's probably what's going to happen, is you're going to have these encounters where it's going to be out at San Diego State. You're going to go, oh, what are you guys doing here on this baseball field at 1 p.m. on Wednesdays? Us too. Weird. Anyway, well, we'll stay over here. You stay over there. We'll see what happens. And what are the lockout police going to go run around? Just go chase down everybody who's doing whatever? It's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. We know what happened during football as well.
Oh, yes.
We know what happened big time during football.
You know, Norv
and Turner and Philip Rivers weren't sitting there on their burner phones connecting with one another? Give me a break. Although those two weirdos probably just telepathically did it.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's how that worked. So we are in lockout mode. Does anybody want to hear from Rob Manfred? Because we have a couple of sound bites from Rob Manfred. I don't want to put people to sleep here in the middle of the day.
Let's do it early. I think people are energized on their lunch break. They're tuning in. They want to know where this is going. They want to hear from the leadership, from the man representing the owners.
Yes.
Where are we at?
We want to hear from the leader.
Yes.
A guy who is carving out his own Hall of Fame career. Remember what happened to the previous guy?
Oh, boy.
He had a work stoppage there. He ended up in the Hall of Fame.
He almost got a plaza here, didn't he?
He did get a plaza here.
Oh, is
here.
It still there?
Oh, I don't know.
I think they changed the name.
I think they put it somewhere down by the urinals.
Yeah.
But Rob Manfred, who's trying to get himself into the Hall of Fame by being the commissioner during a work stoppage, mm-hmm. said some stuff today.
Rob, what about the union's proposals was bad for the sport, bad for fans, and bad for competitive balance?
Well, let's take 5-year free agency. I think that we already have teams in smaller markets that struggle to compete. Shortening the period of time that they control players makes it even harder for them to compete. It's also bad for fans in those markets. The most negative reaction we have is when a player leaves via free agency. We don't see that making it earlier, available earlier. We don't see that as a positive. Taking $100 million away from teams that are already struggling to put a competitive product on the field, I don't see how that's helpful.
What are you talking about? What is he talking about? Free agency's great. People love talking about free agency. You know how many of these reach-around shows Jim and John do about free agencies? Moves that are never going to happen, by the way. No offense to you guys, but if you guys think that Castellanos and Brian are coming here, you're both crazy, but it's good content.
And it gets the most views. It gets the most clicks. Whatever rumor comes out, even though it probably will never happen, people love to click it.
These guys aren't coming here, but it doesn't stop you from doing a show, and it doesn't stop people from talking about it. And it's good. Free agency's good for business. Where is this fallacy coming from that it's bad for business?
Interesting news is always great. Okay, I'm sorry. I missed this yesterday. I missed what happened with Castellanos and Chris Bryant.
They had an emergency reach around yesterday, so they could adjust these silly Twitter rumors.
What Twitter rumors? Did I miss
this? Bob Nightingale and Heyman just making stuff up.
Oh, boy.
Padres are very interested. And then AC tweeted out that they're interested in a big bat.
Yes. AC is the least full of poop amongst all of them.
Wait. I'm sorry. You're bearing the lead. The Padres are interested in a big bat?
Big bat.
Big bat.
An outfielder, too.
Yeah. I wonder who.
This is coming from the same GM president who's always been linked with literally every single player in baseball.
Correct.
The Padres are interested in so-and-so.
When all else fails, just put the Padres in a tweet.
I have not watched this yet, Jim.
Uh-huh.
I apologize to you and to Jafer, but like when you guys do a show on Chris Bryant and Nick Castellanos, who are going to command a lot of money for a Padres team with a $184 million payroll that needed to cut ties with Adam Frazier because they've got to cut payroll. Do you feel passionate? Do you feel like you're selling it? Do you get excited? Like, what gets you going? Like, do you feel like, dude, what am I talking about?
Chris no, it is exciting because
free agency is exciting.
Okay. Free agency is exciting. Okay. And look, it probably will never happen. The likelihood of Castellanos and Chris Bryant coming here, very slim.
Do you say that to start the interview, the video, or do you wait to the very end to drop that bomb?
I don't say that. He saves that for radio.
Oh. Yeah, of course.
Totally different audience.
Yeah, come on. Okay. Come on, Marty. I've never seen it on Reach Around.
Reach Around. Those guys are all in. They're like,
sell the hell out of
Castellanos. I think it'd be great. Where's he going to bat in the lineup?
What number should he wear?
What number's he going to wear? Hey. How many jerseys is he going to sell?
Is this a statue contract?
Is it a 7-year deal? Is it an option? What would you give him?
Do you do like imaginary play-by-play? The deep drive, the
left.
Yeah,
I tell John to do it because he's better at that.
Yeah, he's the play-by-play guy.
Yeah, but you just run through every scenario, even though the likelihood of it's not real, but it's A.J. Preller, and when A.J. Preller's involved...
You can never say never.
You can never say never.
Okay, I got you.
Even though it is pretty much probably a pipe dream.
Yeah, okay. I was told that either don't waste a single second of your show talking about either one of those.
And we just wasted at least 3 minutes.
Well, I didn't want to rain on the reach-around parade.
Yeah, right.
It's good content, you know, and these guys are going to need it.
We're going to need it. I just love how they left us those two nuggets before the lockout. So now, for the entirety of the lockout, all Padres fans are going to be wondering, well, what about Chris Bryant? What about Nick Castellanos? They were rumored to be interested in him. So I like that.
Yeah, again, I mean, this is good for your websites. This is good for your podcast. This is good for shows like this.
Those get the most clicks on every website.
Okay,
rumors
without
about,
a doubt. No, what people don't want to hear anymore. People don't want game recaps.
No.
People watch the game. They don't need a game recap. They need rumors, a narrative storyline.
Or base running mistakes or things like that. They don't need
that junk. Rumors, oh, well, then in the fourth inning, they went to this pitcher. Who the F cares?
Rumors or controversy. That's what's going to go ahead and sell. So I'm sorry.
Free agency. Free agency matters. By the way, how does Rob Manfred, how does he explain to the rest of these owners that the Padres went out there and signed two players for about $1 billion. How do you explain that? And then you got crappy owners in places like Pittsburgh and some of these other cities and Oakland. That's crappy ownership. You know, it's got nothing to do with players. It's crappy owners. Got a good owner here. He's not afraid to spend. Maybe he's not spending in the right area. Maybe they've gotten a little crazy. But at any rate, you got an owner here who's willing to spend. That's the difference in San Diego. Other places, you don't have that. You don't have the owners that are willing to do those kind of things. So as always, not about players, about owners versus owners. You got a bunch of crappy owners in the sport.
Yep.
And you got a bunch of crappy owners in sports, period. They don't want to spend. I was reading the text line when I came in. I always like reading texts from the previous shows. And this always amazes me when you see stuff like this. It really is. And I understand that everybody's entitled to an opinion. But a 619 number texted in earlier, way early this morning. It was on a totally different show, so it's probably unfair for me to even bring this up. But it said, this is why I'm for the owners. What job can you have and suck ass and get a raise, MLB? Emilio Pagan sucks and he gets a raise. Shake my head. Well, you know who else sucks and gets raises? Owners. They get raises all the time because the value of these franchises, they are skyrocketing, and a lot of these owners suck ass too. And nobody ever complains about that. So you're complaining about one player who, by comparison, is making peanuts compared to ownership, yet people are still of this opinion somehow that this is why I side with owners.
Right.
Because players can suck and still get a raise. Owners can be awful, terrible. You know who's getting raises? The owners of the Oakland A's.
Not losing
money.
They're
terrible. Look at what they're doing to that city. Look at what they're doing to that fan base. They're getting raises. They're getting raises. Their franchise is multiplying in value. They're printing money in this sport. So, like, why? Why? Now, it's not palatable that you have these conversations, as it's often framed, billionaires, millionaires, et cetera. I don't get it. They've spent $2 billion in free agency so far. So none of this makes any sense. None of this should make any sense at all to any of us. And it'll probably be worked out. I don't think there's anything really to fret about. It's a bunch of noise. It's a bunch of nonsense. And, you know, it just gives people an excuse to complain about stuff, I guess.
What does Andrew Brain always say? Deadlines cause action. Like, they don't need to do anything right now because baseball's not starting at least for another 3 months.
Well, no one's getting paid right now, and there's no revenue lost from any games. I'm sorry. That was a very, very long response to Manfred's first quote. What was the question again? I can't even remember.
I don't even remember what he said. I just, every time you hear me, like, what? I don't.
What are you talking about? Oh, something about.
Aren't we past believing any of this?
Free agency is bad or something like that.
Free agency is bad. Yes. Yeah, free agency is terrible. That's why a lot of these other networks do entire specials on the opening of free agency. That's why these television networks literally have television shows dedicated to the start of free agency, because it is so bad for all of these sports.
I thought the lockout kind of helped free agency push it along, because if there was no lockout, a lot of these moves would have dragged out until February. Probably right until spring training starts.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Corey Seager probably doesn't sign.
No. Max Scherzer doesn't probably sign. Other players probably don't sign. But because of the lockout, it created a deadline for players to sign.
Well, he's in the executive committee. He knew.
He knew, exactly. And he has Boris.
So. Yeah, he's not messing around.
Yeah. That's why I thought it was fun. Like, have a deadline for free agency, like NBA, like the NFL.
I like it.
Get everything going, make it crazy. But
Was it bad for sports when the Padres signed Manny Machado? I mean, was it bad for sports that we had free agency here? They spent $300 million. Was that bad? I mean, I didn't feel bad from where I was sitting.
If you feel bad for the owners, I don't know what to tell you.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. There's just some sort of resentment there.
No fan should feel bad for any owner, literally in any sport.
You know how much money these guys have made since they purchased the Padres less than a decade ago for $800 million? This thing is almost worth $2
billion. Yeah.
So, you know, and not to single out Peter Seidler. I'm not saying that Peter Seidler, he's one of the 30 owners, so I guess he gets lumped in all of this. But he's not on record like Rob Manfred is, whining about this sort of stuff. He's out there going, hey, we're a big city. We got big bucks. We got deep pockets. Yeah. We can spend, so we're okay. We're doing our part. We're out there. We can go. We can manage the situation. We feel like we can be competitive. I like that. We're going to steer into this. We're gonna tackle it head on. Now, we're making a bunch of mistakes in the process, but we're not going to sit here and have you feel sorry for us either, because we're going to go out there and we're going to do the things that we have to do. So there you go. There's your lockout talk. I'm done with it.
That's it. Talk to you in
over.
I've said what I've had to say. There's not going to be any updates here over the next couple of weeks or the next couple of months. And I'm just not going to do one of these low-hanging fruit types of, well, are you on the player side or are you on the owner side?
That sounds
because
like a challenge.
Most of us don't really know anything.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, it sounds like a challenge to do a daily update now on the lockout.
Instead of Marty's notes, it's Marty's NFL or
MLB lockout.
No, but I did have an idea.
I got
because,
plenty
like,
of things to talk about.
How sterilized like all the team websites are. The Padres, here are the Padres headlines. The Padres all-time single-season team.
Oh, man. That's like
10 biggest trades.
COVID radio.
Yeah, 10 biggest trades in Padres history and 5 Padres greats not in the Hall of Fame. So my idea was maybe I can come up with my own idea for a Padres website headline.
Like,
how about
we guess,
something like
that? We guess is it, if that's a real headline or if it's your headline.
Well, it would be clearly you guys.
That's true. Yeah. We would know.
Yeah. Like blooper. Dumbest mascot of all time. What happened to that dopey kid who came up with the idea?
Where's the dopey kid?
Dude, where's that kid? How did this happen? What happened to Blooper?
Man.
Hated Blooper. Anyways, I'm over it. Let's go.
Well,
Brock Huber.
If only there was other stuff to talk about, which there's a million other things to talk about. So we'll talk to Brock Huber about the Mountain West Conference.
I'm today.
All right, week 13 of the NFL season starts in a couple of hours. You can listen to it here on Extra 1360. We are carrying Cowboys and Saints. So be on the lookout for that starting at 5 o'clock this weekend. You can listen to San Diego State football. San Diego State taking on Utah State in the Mountain West Conference Championship game. Like a lot of other people, you'll be watching on television just like me. No offense to Ted, to Rich. If you're cruising around, give it a listen. But it'll be a great broadcast booth upcoming this weekend. The game's going to be on Fox after last week being on CBS. Brock Huber will be the analyst. He's working with Joe Davis, Bruce Feldman. He's really one of the great football minds in broadcasting. I don't say that just because he's making time for us today, but I always love these conversations. I love listening to him when he's on a broadcast. Brock Huber joining us on Extra 1360. Brock, Darren Smith, thank you very much.
Darren, very nice of you to say all of that. Excited to wrap up our season. Fox only has one bowl game, and that'll go to Gus and Joel and Jenny, the Holiday Bowl. So This is it for our crew. I think this is 15 weekends in a row. And as I told the guys at San Diego State when we met with them yesterday, that this is a big deal for us. I know it's a big deal for you guys, but it's a big deal for us. Championship weekend, and can't wait to see what's going to be, I think, a very competitive game.
Well, Brock, I'd love to know initial opinions on what you've seen from San Diego State, what you've learned from San Diego State in your conversations this week. We've seen this team. I will admit I was very skeptical of it to start the season because I think I'm right in saying almost every time out they're at a quarterback disadvantage. For you as a former quarterback, I'm sure this has jumped off the page. But yet here they are 11-1 and with a win and perhaps a loss from Cincinnati, thinking about a New Year's Six game. It's been a remarkable job from the coaching staff, the defense, and the special teams.
Yeah, I think you nail just about every bit of that. I mean, you put the tape on, and they're just a violent football team, you know, which I enjoy watching. You know, there's a number of years doing college football, Darren, where I got to be honest with you, it just, there was fatigue. It was so much finesse. It was all spread and basketball on grass, and it got redundant with so much tempo. It just dumbed things down, and it was so vanilla. And, you know, then you put a tape on like San Diego State, and you just start to appreciate a true toughness. You know, they call it Toughness Tuesday. They put the pads on, and they callous each other. They hit each other, and it just shows up every then Saturday or Friday when they play, because they're truly one of the most violent teams in college football. Their front is, their safeties love to come down and hit. Cam Thomas, I saw his numbers over the course of the season, but I didn't see the Aztecs all year. This is our first game in the Mountain West, and that dude is, he's Aiden Hutchinson light, and not even that light. I mean, the NFL guys love him. In fact, he's number one in the country in total pressures, just ahead of Aiden Hutchinson. So he's an absolute blast to watch. Those are nose tackle, that's ferocious, their front, all get after it. You know, it's just a fun football team to watch. Now, you contrast that with the Utah State team that will play as fast as anybody San Diego State has seen this year, and probably faster. Quick little skill guys. They spread the field. Darren, you're going to watch it. We're going to highlight it. I mean, they put a receiver 6 inches from the boundary, right? And he's not really even running a route. He's simply taking a defender out of the mix. So they really use the field as horizontally as much as anybody in college football, and their pace will try to slow down a ferocious defense.
Brock Huard, Fox Sports, joining us on Extra 1360. He'll be in the booth this weekend, San Diego State, Utah State, Mountain West Conference Championship game. How much have you heard about the punter? How much have you talked about the punter? It's an amazing storyline. Again, from earlier this season that we thought was kind of a gag. It was kind of a backhanded compliment to talk about Matt Araiza. But, you know, to hear the coaches, the defensive coaches on the radio, offensive coaches, head coaches talking about him, it's become a real thing here, not just a cult thing. It's become a real thing here in San Diego and across the country, too.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about the challenges a little bit offensively and at the quarterback position. And, you know, I think their line is pretty solid. I really love Matthews and his body control on the perimeter, and Greg Bell's been an excellent addition and runs really hard, and they've got a whole slew of running backs. So, you know, you play this game defensively first. That's the toughness and the culture and everything and the whole mindset of your team. Then you're going to run the football, and you're going to pass and hopefully hit some explosive plays. But you know what Jimbo Fisher used to love to say, and it's a common adage in football, you want every drive to end with a kick. And that's obviously, you know, you prefer an extra point. A field goal would be second. And then a punt would be last on that list, unless you're broadcasting a game with this guy, because it's must-see TV. And I can't wait, Darren, to get down on the field pregame. And I think he's going to be one of these guys that you can just hear it, right? You just listen to it. Like when you're on a driving range with a great golfer, and all of a sudden you're like, man, there's one guy hitting it that it just sounds different. This last April, I got a chance through a charity to be at the Masters and purposely got around Bryson DeChambeau. I just wanted to hear what that sounded like off the tee, and it sounded like a rocket, you know, like an explosion. And I'm going to guess it'll be the same watching him in person up close. And he's that weapon they've had to have. I mean, they wouldn't be here. They wouldn't be 6-0 in one possession games this season without him. Kind of a telling stat between both these teams. San Diego State 6-0. Utah State is 4-0 in one possession games. And both of them are excellent. They've got a great returner. You do as well with Bird at San Diego State. But that punter and kicker is certainly a weapon unlike anything else in college football.
Brock, I wonder, national perspective on the job that Brady Hoke has done. I don't know that redemption is the right word here. You know, we think we've learned a little bit about Michigan. Maybe it's not as simple as just, you know, bringing in Jim Harbaugh. It's been his year, right? But it took a little while. But for Brady Hoke, who left, who went to Michigan, who bounced around a little bit, who spent a little bit of time up in the Pacific Northwest, I wonder just, you know, how the national perspective of Brady is, given the job that he's done here with San Diego State. I'm sure it's way off everybody's radar. But for anybody who's like, oh, yeah, Brady Hoke, you know, always a likable guy. And here he is now finding success again at San Diego State.
And he just got that voice, right? When you talk to him, like Mike Tyson, like that just doesn't match up with a defensive a guy that coaches the nose tackles and the defensive line and everything else. Yet it's just authentic. I think that's the word as you were kind of setting that question up that just came to me. In a business that's often inauthentic, a business that's often all about yourself, he's an authentic cat through and through. And it'll be fun. You'll hear Bruce Feldman. He'll be our analyst or sideline reporter. And Bruce has got so much relationship with so many of these coaches over decades. And to hear those two swap stories and to reconnect. And Bruce, you know, asked a number of the assistants, hey, you know, tell me about Brady. You know, tell me from your perspective what it means and what he's meant to that program. And from, you know, the SID to the offensive coordinator, they all rave. And I think it's the same thing. I mean, he knows who he is. He's very authentic. And, he's sure fun to talk to. And his team plays their butts off, man.
They do. And you see it, like you said, it is a little bit of a throwback. And you know, the other thing, Brock, for me is you mentioned putting on the tape and there's a little bit of fatigue seeing spread, right, basketball on grass. You can sort of see the way the teams play, too. Like, teams aren't used to playing against this. You know, I think that's come into play a bunch of times, which is probably why it's you know, why they've been able to recover from the disadvantage at the quarterback spot. But you can tell these other teams, they're used to playing against that other style here. This is not a matchup that they get week in, week out in college football anymore.
No, and it's a pretty good clash of styles. And, you know, we were chatting yesterday with defensive coordinator Kurt Mannix as well, and just saying, you know, how do you, because on the flip side, right, you practice against San Diego State in the spring and the training camp, and it's physical, and that benefits you a bunch, you know, to have that physical mindset, those two heavyweights through the spring and fall camp. But now you are getting a featherweight. Now you are getting a tempo team. How do you replicate that this week? And it is a challenge. And, you know, you've got some big dudes. The Aztecs play a lot of people. They're going to have to play a lot of people over the course of this game within their front and that linebacker, because Utah State is going to bring a totally different style, man. They're going to want to be that basketball on grass. And I will say this, though, they throw bombs. Their quarterback is kind of a stocky, list him at 6'1", 230. He looks a little stockier than that, a Texan kid. Transferred with the head coach Blake Anderson from Arkansas State here. And Darren, this guy, I don't know if you've seen him much this year, but he throws moon balls like Russell Wilson. Like, he just throws it. It'll be kind of fun. We got a little shot tracker to track his deep balls, because it's all not just dink and dunk and bubble screen. They do that stuff, but they love to take the explosive play and shots down the field. And if they hit those home runs, they're going to win this game. If San Diego State can get to Bonner and not allow those to get off and knock them away, then the Aztecs will win another championship like they did back-to-back in 15 and 16.
Right, that's the question, right? Will they have enough time to set those plays up? Those plays, they take an extra second or two, don't they, Brock, to set those up to let your receiver get downfield?
Yeah, they do, Darren, but this guy's got pretty good feel. He's played a lot of football through high school. At Arkansas State, he started a couple years. He's got a chance to break all of Jordan's love single-season records. He needs just one more touchdown and about 332 yards throwing to break those single-season marks at Utah State. And you will see it. Part of the reason he puts so much air on it is he doesn't have to wait till they're open. I mean, he puts that air and that touch on it, and then he'll take a shot, you know, right after he throws it. But he plays with a lot of anticipation, a lot of touch, and they got a feisty little slot back as well, the leading receiver in college football. So you add all this up, man, I'm excited, as I said, right off the jump, because there's storylines galore, some two just really authentic, good men leading these programs, and Blake Anderson on the other side. And our crew's had a bunch of blowouts the last 4 or 5 weeks, so I'm looking forward to a one-possession game Saturday.
Well, we look forward to that. As much as it might panic many people listening in the audience, I think, yes, we would like to see a good game on television as well. Brock, I can't have this conversation without at least asking one question, because you still are based in the Pacific Northwest. For years, Brock Huard, just a legend on local radio up in the Seattle area. What's the climate been like up there with the Seahawks this year?
A mess. Total mess. Unlike anything they've ever been through, right? For a decade, it's been nothing but winning and double-digit seasons, largely for Russell and Pete. And that fracture started this offseason. I'm sure you talked about it a ton on your show. And you know, when Russell puts a trade, the teams he'd be willing to be traded to, and throws his O-line under the bus with Dan Patrick, and just his off-brand, just all felt off-brand. And then he had another new coordinator move, Russell's third, something that he wanted, but is clearly not working, a significant injury that knocked him out for a month, and he's not been right since. And I think if it goes the wrong way Sunday, in San Francisco, one of the hottest teams in the NFL coming into the building, if it didn't go well Sunday, you're going to hear a volume of boos and frustration and aggravation in ways they've not heard in 12 years. Since Pete's been in charge of that thing.
Wow. And when people say, you know, this is a team now that looks like it's headed towards a teardown, what does that mean? Is that Russell and Pete? Is it one or the other? Like, how is that defined, that term?
Well, there's a lot of ball still to play, right? I mean, that's the one thing we know, and especially about this year, Darren, in the NFL, is just when you crown the Bills, just when you dump the 49ers, just when you think you've got things figured out, the Chiefs are a mess. They can put some things together. So these last 5-6 weeks will be critical to see if it can salvage the relationship between Pete and Russ. I think that's what, you know, what people are referencing. That's certainly what so much of the noise is on the outside. You know, and talking to people on the inside, it is not nearly as chaotic. They do have a strong culture and foundation that has been built over 12 years and 10 years of a relationship between those two. But if it continues to struggle on the field, Darren, I'd be very surprised if those two are still married in 2022.
Brock, have a great week. Have a great broadcast. We look forward to it. 12 noon coming up on Fox Television. Thank you very much for fitting in this week. I know that it's been busy for you. We appreciate your time. We truly do. Happy holidays to you. We look forward to the broadcast.
You got it, Darren. Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Brock Huard, everybody. Fox Sports, a football analyst who's really, really good. Former University of Washington football player. We could have talked a little bit about that since they just got the Fresno State coach, but we'll save that for a different day and a different interview. Brock Huard, everybody, on your television coming up this Saturday at 12 noon. /Contour. All right, we created iHeart so you can put us in your pocket, take us everywhere that you go. Your favorite stations, music, podcasts, and more for free whenever, wherever, now in your home, listening to your favorite station. It's as easy as asking Alexa or Google to play the station that you want to hear. Streaming on Sonos, Roku, hundreds of other platforms, making it very easy for you. It's what we're all about in 2021, simplifying life, making things easy. So you can talk to your Sonos device, you can play a little bit of music, you can turn on your Christmas tree, you can do all sorts of fun stuff. Have a connected home. It's amazing. It's connected anyway. You just don't even want to acknowledge it.
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
I'm not talking to Marty. I'm talking to everybody. It mostly works.
It mostly works.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like a private conversation, and I'm thoroughly excluded from it.
You're not excluded at all. You claim that your devices don't listen. They do. They listen all the time. They're listening right now. Why do you think you see the ads that you see when you scroll through Instagram? All right, coming up, top of the hour, Kirk Morrison will be here. Man, I'm telling you, this lockout, it's a real struggle. It's a real struggle for people in the content business.
Well,
don't know what we'll talk about with Kirk.
We do have that second Manfred soundbite to get to. We only played one.
Can't wait. Have to save that for later. Got to pace ourselves here.
That might be for like a Tuesday show. What do you say?
Can't overdose on the Manfred in hour number one.
Did you even hear the song that I played?
No.
It was Locked Up by Akon.
Okay, good job out of you.
Play it again. I missed that.
This is sparking creativity for Jim Russell.
I think it's just the beat, but you never heard the song before?
I'm sure I did.
Yeah,
I'm an aficionado, Marty.
Yeah, I don't have any. I don't have any commercials on my Instagram.
Sure you don't.
Your phone listens to you all the time.
Yes, it does.
Happened to me over Thanksgiving. I said something to my brother, and no joke, 10 minutes later, my Instagram, it showed up as an ad.
Really?
Yeah, it was like a radar gun or something that he's doing.
Being in the middle of a move, still unpacking a bunch of stuff.
A bunch of moving stuff.
I mean, it's just amazing how much stuff shows up.
Okay.
Yeah.
But seriously, what is the Reach Around show going to talk about for the next couple of months?
Honestly, I mean, well, we have the Rob Manfred stuff we could talk about.
Are you just going to drag out that sound?
Of course we are, Marty. We'll make two episodes out of two different sound bites.
Really? And then you can have one for...
okay. He's got Aztec Hoops. Yeah. Yeah, that'll preoccupy a bunch of his time.
Yeah, but the Reach Around show is specifically on the Padres. So are you going to break down... Did Tony Clark speak to you?
I think he might have.
So you need to break that one down.
So there's three videos.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I've got a super close-up shot on MLB Network of John Heyman.
Oh,
have we gotten any closer? We're up Heyman's nose.
Is he shaved?
Yes.
Looks it.
Looks like he's home. Everyone's home. They had to cancel their big fancy.
Does everyone have to get locked out now? Because
why do they even have a network?
Right. What are they going to show on the network?
I dare baseball to take down its online shop selling these $350 jerseys with the players' names on the back. I dare you guys to do it.
No chance at all.
No chance. Save our best bets for a little later on in the program. Kirk Morrison. Struggling through lockout radio. Kirk.